you're not talking the big farmer anymore. You already are talking about multiple owners with multiple experts, perhaps, and in fact, the macadamia is not even the same landowners. So you've already split the farmer from landowner issue, because it's a crowd, not only crowdfunding, it's a crowd value creation platform where everyone's bringing their value together.
Welcome to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast, where we discuss all things money, because whether or not we like it, money matters. I'm your host, Maya Fisher-French, and today we're talking about investing in farming. So this is a topic I've actually been writing about extensively, and I have done podcasts previously on investing in cattle. But today I'm chatting to Grant Field, who is the CEO of Fed Group, about their impact farming app. So welcome, Grant, to the My Money, My Lifestyle podcast.
Maya, thank you very much. Great to be on, and thanks for having me.
So, Grant, you know, I remember, okay, the Impact Farming app was launched about 3 years ago, am I right?
That's right. We ran it sort of 4.5 years ago experimentally, but turned on the app 3.5 years ago. That's right.
So I remember, okay, I still remember interviewing you for the first time. I was interviewing you for an article, but I was actually going away on holiday. So I had, I was chatting in the car. My husband, don't worry, was driving. I was being safe. And you were talking so passionately about blueberries. And I learned so much about blueberry farming on that conversation. And you actually, your just enjoyment and passion for this was really rubbed off on me. And my poor husband, for the next hour after that call, had to listen to the whole thing about blueberries. But not only about blueberries, but, you know, what you were doing. And I really saw this as a big game changer. So for me, it's fantastic that we're getting to touch base again to find out how those investments are doing, those blueberries, beehives and solar panels, and also what new assets you're bringing to market. But perhaps, you know, for the listeners who are not familiar with the Impact Farming app yet, can you just give a brief overview of how it works?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's amazing that it has been 3.5 years since we last spoke, and so much has happened since then. But I think that impact farming was really built on the premise that people are increasingly investing in assets that they have no idea what it is, where it is, how it works. There's a bigger and bigger drive that people want to invest in things that are sustainable, and I don't love that word, but the things are good. But if you don't know where you're investing, you know, how do you know if what you're investing in is good or sustainable, or that the returns make sense, etc.? And so the premise on which we built Impact Farming was really trying to build a layer where people knew where their money was going. That was actually the first part of what we're trying to do. And we initially launched it with solar, because we felt that solar was this asset. People, it was new and it was good, but people understood how it worked. If you put a solar panel out there, it collects sun, and you can somehow make money off the energy produced. And so that was the very first thing that we launched 4.5 years ago. We didn't have an app back then. Tested the concepts, checked that the financial models worked, etc. And then really, you know, took the next step, recognizing that nowadays you have to have an app. So we built the app, and 3.5 years ago launched the app. And of course, with version 2, we came out with blueberries and beehives. We loved those asset classes for many of the same reasons, and that they were also good. They were agri. They were always using sustainable farming methods. We can unpack that in a lot more detail just now. But the other two things were that, first of all, bees. It's just such a feel good, make a difference type of asset. But then also blueberries. You could invest back then, and now even cheaper, for 300 rand. And we felt that, gee, was like, what other asset is there that you can, after debit order fees, which there are none on our platform, but after fees, after everything, you can find 300 Rand that's actually invested 100% and you make money out of it. Mm. So those were our first three asset classes. Some of what we did was easier than we thought. Some of it was a lot more difficult. You look at, you know, we're running tens of thousands of solar panels and hundreds of thousands of blueberry bushes. And so just a huge number of assets on the platform, each with their data, but each with their own service providers, each with the potential for people to be lying, for people to be inflating the truth, for them not to be doing what they're doing, etc. So all of that we've had to unpack and watch what's happening. And but of course, we've got a lot behind the scenes. So we use some machine learning in our system. We use some IoT, etc. And yeah, we've got this entire ecosystem now. And then, as you say, we've added. We've added in the last 6 months, having stabilized the platform, we can now add assets really quickly. And we've added macadamia trees, moringa, and what we call lettuce stacks, which is essentially a very modern way of growing lettuce.
And I think for me, what really excited me when you and I spoke 3 years ago was how this can become, and I think I want you to talk a little bit about how you're working with that in terms of being a crowdfunding opportunity for smaller farmers. You know, if we're trying to solve for food security in South Africa, capital is a big issue, obviously. So you've got somebody who loves the idea of farming but can't farm, like me, and then you've got somebody who's really, really good at farming, but they don't have access to capital. And for me, this really brings together both of those and solves for a problem of food security. How, I mean, is it working out like that? Do you see this going forward as the way it will develop?
Yeah, so I think for us, some of the interesting parts were, and I think importantly, we are not the farmer. We are this platform putting farmers together with crowdfunding, for example. But it becomes important that we understand what the farmers need to do, that the farmers are at the right level, etc. So, in fact, I am CEO of Fed Group, which is 90% old-fashioned in terms of life insurance and other types of investments. 10% is very modern and the part that I'm most passionate about. But the guy who heads up Fed Group's impact farming is a CA farmer. So literally very comfortable in both those worlds. He is a farmer. On the weekends, you see him literally digging in soil and you know, he understands the phosphates and everything that's happening in the farming world, but he's a CA and he builds financial models and understands him. And so it becomes quite important that we've got that level of expertise within our own platform so that we can make sure then that the farmers that come onto the platform are doing what they need to do. And what we've found is that you don't always know whether the farmers... It's a tough due diligence process to make sure that you've got the right guys on board, that they know what they're doing. There's a big difference between farming and efficiently farming with great outputs. I mean, we spoke about blueberries previously. If I was to take a blueberry bush and plant it in my garden and speak to it every day, I would not get the returns that these farmers are able to get. It wouldn't be a small difference. It would be, you know, sort of 30 to 50 fold difference in terms of the returns. So I think that more and more, as the platform matures, we'll be able to take on smaller and smaller farmers, but probably would be setting up great training programs alongside those to really bring them on board on an effective scale.
I think that is what we did discuss around the blueberries was the technology, and you were so passionate about the technology around blueberries and how those yields are being increased through technology, through the tunnels that are used, programs. It's all programmed. Everything's programmed. When you water it, when you do this, when you do that, how to keep the temperature. You know, that's not somebody, like you said, that can just in their back garden grow blueberries. So are you looking at being able to bring on smaller farmers or train up South African farmers? I think some of the skills came from Australia, if I remember. Because I think that is, to me, that is really, really a big part of the opportunity here.
Yeah. So I think it depends on the asset class. So if you look at blueberries, it is a mass scale crop that gets grown. It is highly labor intensive, which is really good for our economy. I mean, it's excellent. We went on, in the last harvest season, and there were over 450 laborers on this farm working each gently. I mean, it's just incredible. You try and work with a plant in the way that they're able to, it's impossible. So I don't believe that in every layer there's going to be the same opportunities. But there's certainly already really good training programs in the facilities we've got, for example, in the blueberries, as well as just in some of the other asset classes, there's really interesting opportunities. So If you think of that value chain, it's everything from planting, or in many cases, the nursery, all the way to then the planting, the shade cloth, the water, the cold processing. Every single one of these items needs good qualified people along the value chain. And we've already gotten a number of these items training programs. So in the MACs, there's some unbelievable training that goes on. But it's not one level of training. It's every single level. And I think what's so cool is that you're not talking the big farmer anymore. You already are talking about multiple owners with multiple experts, perhaps, and in fact, the macadamia is not even the same landowners. So you've already split the farmer from landowner issue, because it's a crowd, not only crowdfunding, it's a crowd value creation platform where everyone's bringing their value together. Our IoT is a partner of ours that provides all our IoT, the machine learning, another partner. So it's already an ecosystem of partners rather than one big conglomerate that owns everything.
Well, I mean, this is exactly why I got so excited when we had those conversations, because it is a different way of doing things and a very effective way. Now, I mean, that's obviously the do good, right? The sustainability, the boosting skills in South Africa and all of that. But what has investors want to know? What has my return experience been like? Have people been able to make a reasonable amount of money out of, because I know certainly it was beehives, solar panels and blueberries that were your first product range. You've got about 3 years experience on those now.
Yeah, so I think absolutely it's quite interesting. We first stood before asset managers, because a lot of these products now we're able to, you know, through a wrapped fund, for example, sell to pension funds and like, you want to still have access to the same underlying assets. And when we stood in front of asset managers 4 years ago, trying to pitch what we're looking at doing, there was a lot of skepticism around like, well, why would I even bother? You know, but what has been interesting is that you don't have to separate do good from returns. They're not on the opposite sides of the scale. What we've built is something where we're not only doing good, but we've reduced waste. In fact, that's our whole premise, is trying to find waste, whether it be waste in water, waste in processes, constantly looking for waste, reducing waste and unlocking value. And that's exactly what we've been doing. And so the returns that we built originally are what we call internal rate of returns. It's amazing. We also believe in simplicity, but it's a really complex thing, trying to get quite a complex investment return concept across to the consumers. Congratulations on your award, by the way. I saw that you did well last year in educating consumers. But many corporates are trying to confuse consumers. They really are. I mean, it's amazing. We unpacked some quotes last year from top corporates, and you don't even understand what they are. But the results that we modeled out, it's been great that we've hit them in terms of what we're looking at doing. So if you think of a blueberry bush, you plant it, it's not going to do anything in the first year. It doesn't yet grow fruit. At the end of the first year, it gets its first harvest, but there's just a few berries, and those berries are then sold. And depending on what you sell them at, depending on, you know, are there international COVID-related shipping issues, yes or no, and what does this mean? That was a good thing for us, by the way, so that increased our prices. But was there a frost event, a bad thing for us, that reduces the returns you get? But in essence, we map out average internal rate of returns for the period of the products, and all the products at present are behaving according to the models that we set up, which is really encouraging.
So, I mean, I saw that my sons and myself have bought blueberries, and my son was really upset, and I have to be honest. We only had like a little 300 rand blueberry bush, and he's got like, I don't know, a couple of rand. And he's like, but mom's only a couple of rand. But of course, every year, because the yield of the blueberries bushes are increasing, the investment return is increasing. And I think that is, it's interesting, because I think it goes against normal investment behavior. So you kind of, you know, people have, if they put money in a bank account, they expect a static sort of, you know, 5% every year on it. That's sort of what they expect. But we do intrinsically understand farming. So to understand this investment is actually not that difficult. So you're saying, well, exactly that. The first few years are not going to have the best return. But on year 8, if I remember correctly, that's going to be the big yield. That's when it'll catch up all that growth. And I suppose sometimes it's actually even a good analogy for the stock market, because the stock market doesn't return also in, you know, in nice linear ways. There are ups and downs, but over a period of time, you get an average return. So I think we do have some concept and idea of that. But I think when it comes to understand it visually, I think farming actually helps, because we understand that that makes sense. And I know certainly on macadamia nuts, and I have to just tell you that about 10 years ago, I thought, you know what the brilliant retirement plan would be to buy a macadamia nut farm. And I remember going through the whole process of thinking about this and do it, but I thought about it, and I thought, because it takes 7 years. It takes 7 years to grow the tree until yield. But once you yield it, yep, it's an incredibly low maintenance plant. So, you know, those are the ways, and I think people understand that. Intrinsically, they understand it. But, you know, I suppose one also has to get used to the idea that you're not going to get an immediate return. So my son is really having to learn patience with the investment.
Well, I think there's a couple of facts here. I mean, the one interesting thing is that obviously once you're in the FedRAMP ecosystem, your money is sitting in a wallet, and you do earn interest on that wallet. And it's something that I've been trying to teach my children, that they've got bank accounts, they've got on and offshore equities, they're kids of the head of a finance company. They're going to have these things, and I try and teach them to make their own decisions, because at their age, any money they invest, if they lose it all, it makes no difference. They're lucky they still got the support of home, which is the perfect time to be learning these skills. But people expect 5% in their bank account, but when they last check it, they're not getting 5% in their bank account. If they are, they should. You can send them my email. I'd love to invest my money in that bank account. Post fees, it's unlikely. And so if you take 300 Rand and put it into any South African bank account and put 300 Rand on the impact farming platform, chances are you will beat it even in the first 18 months than any bank account. And we've really tried hard to make sure that a person who only has 300 Rand to invest can make good returns, hopefully some of the best returns out there. And what's quite nice now is we've now got a product where you can buy in at 100 Rand. I think that's what it costs now for a Moringa bush. We have increased the, you have to invest at least 500 Rand on the platform for one reason, which is our banking fees. That is the only reason we have a limit on our platform, is the cost of us getting the money into the bank account, which is absolutely crazy, but that is a fact. And once you're in our platform, we don't charge you any investment fees. We earn all our fees off the farmers, of all the other contracts we've got in place. So when you get quoted an amount, that is what you're getting. And we don't charge you transaction fees or any funny things in that impact farming. And then what's great is we've had guys now who are investing, you know, they put in their 300 Rand and then maybe a 500 Rand to test some things. And now we've got guys investing 100,000 Rand, million Rand, investments into this platform. And I think, you know, that's really our next challenge now, is we've grown the platform to over 10,000, 14,000 users and growing very quickly now. But what we want to do is to move it out of the experimental. So say to guys, look, don't just invest 300 Rand, go and put part of your diversified portfolio into this asset class.
And I mean, that's, you know, also I think part of the challenge is finding the assets, because I know, for example, your solar panels, I couldn't invest in your solar panels, they were sold out. So what has been your most popular product of your range?
Well, beehives is always the most popular. And beehives, we will never, ever have enough stock. We've got more coming, but we don't advertise it. If you're on the platform, you see it, you buy them and they sold. So everyone just loves beehives, and not because the returns are highest, they just intrinsically love them. Yeah. But I mean, on that front, in order to get higher volumes, we actually started a queen bee rearing program. So we've now got a full-time person with a partner who's constantly rearing queen bees to introduce them into new hives to essentially increase South Africa's bee population, which is fantastic. So we've got about 6,500 hives out there, another 1,500 coming on soon. What's interesting about the most popular is it changes. So I've actually got in front of me the last 7 days, the most popular has been macadamia trees. So, you know, they're offering a slightly higher return than some of the other products. But yeah, that is the most popular product right now, followed by solar, followed by lettuce. So lettuce is an interesting one in that it's offering the highest returns at the moment. These are not guaranteed returns. They're the expected returns, and our models are good. But if suddenly no one likes lettuce, you will be 100% exposed to that. If no one wants to buy lettuce, you will not earn money. It's as simple as that. But at the moment, lettuce, we've actually put a restriction of you have to have 75,000 Rand in the impact farming platform in order to buy lettuce. Really just because it's got such a high return, they're limited numbers. And so that's third most popular, but harder to get onto.
But I mean, I think it's fantastic that we're talking about lettuce, you know, and bees, and that people are wanting them. You can't even keep up with the demand. I mean, you know, this is why it is so exciting for me, because these are good things. And I remember, but your returns, you know, I haven't looked at the app recently, but I think your blueberries are about 10% per annum return over the 8-year period. So what is bee hives again? We're looking at for bees.
So basically, I've got a few cheat sheets. We're getting a little bit big as a company nowadays, you know, so I've got to give me 2 seconds. Here we go. Yeah, so I mean, the returns essentially for solar is approximately 10%, blueberries approximately 11%, moringa 10%, macadamias 11%, beehives 10%, and then lettuce stacks at 14%.
But still, I mean, you're getting, you know, if you're getting a 10% per annum return or 11% annual return, you're diversified, because these are completely non-market related, and you're actually doing good. You're creating food security. You're environmentally, the bees are certainly a big issue. To me, this is where, you know, when we talk about, you can find investments, I think that can really meet all of those. And I also remember in our conversation, the bees also I found very interesting, because it's not the honey. You make the money from the, as an investor, you're making money from the honey, but the farmer makes the money from the bees, renting the bees to farmers to pollinate the flowers. So, you know, all these intrinsic things that you can say, right, okay, you will benefit from the yield from the honey, but the bee farmer person actually makes the money from the pollination side. So it's also about looking at those and saying, how does one, you know, diversify the product as well?
Yeah, I think also interestingly, as we've grown as a platform, we've now got the luxury of bringing on more and more experts. So I've spoken about Warren, who's the head of impact farming as a CA farmer. I mean, it's just brilliant. But we've got a number of other experts that are really good at bees, for example, or agri, etc. And so, for example, on these various farms, we're now starting to do some really interesting sort of cross benefit value that we're adding. So, for example, in the Mac farms, we're now adding 4 cover crops that essentially, along with bees, that essentially increase the production and the reduction of pests in a natural way, etc. So you're building these friendlier and friendlier farms. Mm-hmm. It's not just about the financing anymore. The water consumption is way lower. The pest control is way lower, etc., etc. So you know, we kind of look at ESG as this concept that we don't like. If I'm honest, we find that it's another
box
auditing
ticking
term.
Yeah,
you're another box ticking exercise. I mean, you only have to look at some of your biggest financial markets that were fully audited and fully regulated, and we try to stay away from that space and try and rather work towards the bottom up approach, deal with complex engineering and food security problems and understand them from the bottom up and try and make a difference. But what's been great is you suddenly not constantly clean up after clean up, sustainability problem after sustainability problem. You're actually starting to build a genuine, high performing, future proof platform and the underlying assets that power it, which is brilliant.
And are you looking at bringing on any other new assets? I know I heard a rumor that possibly you're going to be bringing cattle onto the app. Now, that cattle's a big, very popular investment as well, crowd-sourced investment. Are you in discussions, or can we be looking, seeing that coming through in 2022?
So I think short answer to cattle right now, it's not necessarily on our radar. So I do know where those rumors come from, but they're not us right now. Livestock, yes. So there's a subtle difference. But I think, you know, you made the comment earlier that at some point on the platform, you couldn't get stock. When we launched the platform, there was this really tough dilemma that if you don't launch, you don't have a platform. But if you sit there trying to grow a platform forever, you will never launch. And so when we first launched, you know, we couldn't sell out a single rooftop. No one wanted to invest on a single panel on someone else's rooftop. So you'd end up with these long wait times, get a solar panel, wait for friends to buy, et cetera, et cetera. And then suddenly what happens is bang, everyone buys. And then this thing just starts running extremely hard. So when we ran out of stock in one or two of the products a year and a half ago, my instruction to the team was we're not aiming to try and quickly get the next product on. We wanted to take the ability to scale the platform. So we spent a year and a half behind the scenes building our ability to bring on product, which is now what we've done. So we aim to bring on another 3 to 5 products this year, different products. And we aim to always keep 5 products fully stocked on the platform. So you'll always be able to buy 5 products at any time. So at the moment, we've got a lot of stock, but it runs out quickly. I mean, just some of the volumes have been huge. But yeah, you'll see a lot more product coming on the platform over the next 12 months, but also in the years to come.
And just so for listeners know, where do they how do they invest? How do they start?
Yeah, so I suppose like more and more things these days, go and download the Fed Group app. And on that Fed Group app, you will see Impact Farming, but you'll also see our old-fashioned investments. And I think that's quite important that we don't believe that impact farming is the only investment out there. And in fact, we know it's not. We really believe that people should be buying, old-fashioned investments, money markets, income pluses, equities, etc. And so on the second tab of our app, people can go and buy all of those investments as well. Probably the biggest distinguishing feature, besides knowing what you're investing in, because money market, what are you investing in? Impact farming, very obvious, is liquidity. I think that's an important one. Impact farming is not a liquid asset.
Yeah.
So if you put your money in, it's tied up there, which is a very good savings vehicle, but not a good rainy day vehicle. So, for us, it's important people go and do that as well. And then I think a final important point is financial advice, good financial advice is really important. I think if you go on the app and you want to buy a little bit of, impact farming or money market for a little bit of liquid cash you probably don't need an advisor for that. But when one starts to really look at your full financial picture, we really still believe in financial advice. Even though our channel is an app, we believe that advisors, good advisors, should be supported and should support you. So one of the cool things now is that you can actually just ask for an advisor straight from the app. So I'd like an advisor. And again, it's not us are the advisor. We then put you in contact with advisors who've gone through the necessary training and the like. So that you then have this ecosystem of good financial advice, someone who's in your region, etc. So yeah, download the Fed Group app for as little as, I think it's 500 rand's initial investment. For as little as 500 rand, you can be playing around, earning money in a wallet.
And I must say the app's wonderful. It's very easy to understand. I mean, I have it myself. Very easy to navigate. And as I said, I think what I love about it is it's intrinsically understandable. My kids were able to understand it because we understand farming. And I think that, you alluded earlier to complicated investments. I mean, people are investing in cryptocurrencies, but they honestly couldn't really tell you how it works or why they're investing, except people have made money out of it. Whereas here, you actually understand it. And I think it's really exciting. I hope to see a lot more just generally crowdfunding in the space of farming. And I think you guys have got a fantastic model, and good luck. And we'll keep in touch. I'm definitely going to make sure I keep an eye on your new. I want to get those macadamia nut trees.
Yeah, they're great. I mean, it's also just it's quite interesting. You touched crypto briefly, and as an organization, we don't love speculation. It's actually quite interesting if you look at your normal stock markets, etc. There's this idea that you can always get your money out, that there's liquidity. But in a crash, it's almost never true. It's almost never true. So if you've got a personal crisis, it's true that if your personal crisis lines up with the right time in the market, you can get your money out. But otherwise, for us, it's a fallacy. Like, it really doesn't make sense because you literally are flipping a coin. Will the market be up or will it be down? And so for us, what's so important is to have some money that's quite safe, money markets, and always diversify. So maybe some money in a bank, some money in a money market, for example. That's some rainy day, fairly safe type of money. And then you want to invest in things that you understand. But then for me, there is still that moral layer that's supposed to be fitting above that. And if you read almost every single day, people are making money through speculation, not through valuating. And I think that's where we really try and make sure that the underlying investments are, and that definition of good is so difficult because everyone's got, you know, some people didn't like what we're doing with bees. You know, people have got different ideas of what is good, etc. But in essence, there's definitely bad. There's definitely taking advantage of people when they're downtrodden and not able to do things. And for us, that's not what this is about. This is about knowing that you put your money in, we will do our best to make sure money is looked after, that what we say we're going to do with your money, we're going to do with your money. And yeah, that's what it's about. So do I have a bit of crypto, for example? I do, because I need to watch what that space is doing. I don't believe in its current form. Do I believe people can make lots of money? Sure, if they're lucky and choose their timing right, etc. Do I think it's currently typically adding a lot of value to the economy? I really don't, especially environmentally.
Yeah, that whole environmental question and the electricity usage, etc., is probably the next the next question we all need to be asking. Yeah, great. Well, thank you so much, Grant. Thank you,
Maya. Thanks a lot. Keep well.